Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on River Talk, 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM. Talking to the Ohio Valley with a local voice.
My local voice is my regional voice, is my national voice, is my international voice, it's my worldly voice, it's my solar system voice, it's my galactic voice, it's my universal voice, it's the only voice I have, and you're listening to it. So, hi, download the River Network app and then click River Talk, click River Talk. You get Dimitri 5 days a week, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, Dimitri live and dangerously local. Thursdays and Fridays, Dimitri encore and dangerously local. And you can hear me on these great radio stations, the River Talk Radio Network, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, and the Sturdy 1430, the audio path of totality. I have another audio clip here for you. This is a hearing in the House regarding the funding of National Public Radio and PBS, the agencies that get public funding, and that way they don't have to supposedly sell advertising. Of course, they do sell advertising. It's called underwriting, and I don't know what the other term is, but you know, they might as well be selling advertising because you see all these different types of ads before you see their shows. And this is really interesting because the head of NPR is this woman named Catherine Mayer, M-A-H-E-R, I believe, who had done a TED Talk, and I shared this with you a while back, where she said in this TED Talk, and I'm paraphrasing here, that essentially facts sometimes get in the way of telling a story, telling a narrative. And that sometimes facts can make it difficult for you to tell the narrative. And what essentially she was saying is that we are here to do propaganda, not here to tell you what the facts are. It was actually quite remarkable that she would say this. It's one thing to think it and, okay, this is the agenda, this is how we're going to make it happen, and, you know, we're evil and devious and all that, but we're also smart. We're not going to announce this. She announced this at her TED Talk. She said, in essence, that the facts can just, you know, get in the way of when we're telling our stories. It was really just astonishing. It was really quite astonishing. And not just the obvious thing about, wait a minute, you're supposed to be a journalist, you know, wink, wink, and you're saying facts don't matter. But the thing that's so astonishing is that she would admit this publicly at a TED Talk. It's out there forever. And as if that's not bad enough, her tweets were unbelievable. All about how much she hates Trump and everything else. This is the head of NPR, National Public Radio. And they're holding hearings now, or held some hearings in the House regarding this. Now, please understand, nothing's going to happen. This is just a show that the Republican Party is, it's a show put on by the Republican Party to give you the illusion that they're holding these people accountable. They're doing no such thing. At the end of the day, they're going to keep funding them because that's what they've always done. It's the Republican establishment who controls the Republican Party other than, I mean, there's also the Donald Trump wing, but let me tell you, Republican establishment still controls the Republican Party, and they hate Trump and they hate MAGA and all that, but they've got their strange bedfellows. They're just kind of stuck with each other right now. But nothing's going to happen. But they will give you the illusion that they're going to hold these people accountable. They're going to give you the illusion that something is going to be done about this. And it really is quite outrageous. Here's just part of that hearing. Miss NPR, the head of NPR, this Catherine Mayer, being grilled shamelessly.
Do you believe that America is addicted to white supremacy?
I believe that I tweeted that, and as I've said earlier, I believe much of my thinking has evolved over the last half decade.
It has evolved. Mm-hmm. Why did you tweet that?
I don't recall the exact context, sir, so I wouldn't be able to say.
Okay. Do you believe that America believes in black plunder and white democracy?
I don't believe that, sir.
You tweeted that in reference to a book you were reading at the time, apparently, The Case for Reparations.
I don't think I've ever read that book, sir.
You tweeted about it. You said you took a day off to fully read The Case for Reparations. You put that on Twitter in January of 2020.
Apologies, I don't recall that I did. No doubt that your tweet there is correct, but I don't recall that.
Okay. Do you believe that white people inherently feel superior to other races?
I do not.
You don't? You tweeted something to that effect. You said, I grew up feeling superior. Ha, how white of me. Why did you tweet that?
I think I was probably reflecting on what it was to grow up in an environment where I had lots of advantages.
It sounds like you're saying that white people feel superior.
I don't believe that anybody feels that way, sir. I was just reflecting on my own experiences.
Do you think that white people should pay reparations?
I've never said that, sir.
Yes, you did. You said it in January of 2020. You tweeted, yes, the North, yes, all of us, yes, America, yes, our original collective sin and unpaid debt, yes, reparations, yes, on this day.
I don't believe that was a reference to fiscal reparations, sir.
What kind of reparations was it a reference to?
I think it was just a reference to the idea that we all owe much to the people who came before us.
That's a bizarre way to frame what you tweeted. Okay. How much reparations have you personally paid?
Sir, I don't believe that I've ever paid reparations.
Okay. It's just for everybody else.
I'm not asking anyone
to pay reparations. Seems to be what you're suggesting. Do you believe that looting is morally wrong?
I believe that looting is illegal, and I refer to it as counterproductive. I think it should be prosecuted.
Do you believe it's morally wrong, though?
Of course.
Of course. Then why did you refer to it as counterproductive? It's a very different way to describe it.
It is both morally wrong and counterproductive, as well as being
illegal. You tweeted, it's hard to be mad about protests in reference to the BLM protests, not prioritizing the private property of a system of oppression. You didn't condemn the looting. You said that it was counterproductive. NPR also promoted a book called In Defense of Looting. Do you think that that's an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars?
I'm unfamiliar with that book, sir. And I don't believe that was at my time at NPR.
You tweeted that you read that book, but...
I don't believe that.
Man, brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. But again, understand, it's just theater. The Republican Party establishment is offering you theater. Nothing's going to change. In my opinion, nothing is going to change. Because after the hearings and after all the examples of the bias and this, that, and the other, the Republican Party establishment is going to do what it's always done. And that is authorize spending for NPR, for PBS, and all of these other type of organizations that are supposedly nonprofit, and you know they don't want to have anything to do with commercials and all that, and they've got a whole hardcore left agenda for many of the shows, not all, but for many of the shows, and it's very difficult for me sometimes to watch PBS because every once in a while I'll be watching a show. Let's say about something about, I don't know, the planet, you know, nature or, you know, the Antarctic or polar bears or bugs in the Amazon or whatever. And the videography, the pictures, the videos are very, very impressive. I mean, really visually spectacular. A lot of times they really are. But then you start listening to the narrator talking about global warming this and the hole in the ozone layer that and temperatures rising here, that and the other. And it's like, oh, my God, here we go again. And I just tune out. I just, you know, turn on something else. I, you know, go to the BBC and hope that, you know, their nature shows are better. Sometimes they are. In any event, but at the end of the day, nothing's going to change. This is sort of like the Jim Jordan version of a congressional hearing. Jim Jordan talks a good game. He will come on mostly Fox News, and boy, he will talk tough. Judiciary Committee this, and you know we need to look into this, that, and the other, whatever. And at the end of the day, nothing happens. At the end of the day, nothing happens. Compare that with when the Democrats ran the House. Whatever else you might think of Nancy Pelosi, And I realized there are a lot of people who don't like her for a number of different reasons, some quite valid, some maybe not so valid. But even her harshest critics, even the ones who make fun of her personal appearance, even the ones who make fun of and criticize her insider trading, not being worth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, even her harshest critics will admit that she was a very effective Speaker of the House because she too had a very slim majority. And yet she ruled that caucus with an iron fist. She knew how to keep everyone in line as a solid block. Even Donald Trump has made references, begrudging respect for the Democrats. And we're talking Nancy Pelosi here because of the way she was able to keep all of those votes, all the Democrats, in line. So there were no, quote, mavericks. The media loves it when the Republican side, there's somebody like this horrible senator from Alaska, Murkowski, or Susan Collins, or someone else, or back in the day, John McCain. The media loves it when someone on the Republican side is going against the Republican majority. That person's a maverick. An independent thinker and this, that, and the other. You never hear that on the Democratic side. Never, 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 never hear that. And so they do say that even our harshest critics will admit that Nancy Pelosi, she knew how to run a, how to run the House. Slim majority, and yet look at what she was able to accomplish, including this theater with January 6th and all of that. She had a very, very slim majority, very, very slim. And yet she managed to do all of that and caused so much grief, so many troubles for so many people. Now that the Republicans are in charge, it's pretty much a clown show. Whether it's Mike Johnson or, you know, whoever it was before him, McCarthy and others that they've had at different times, the Republican establishment, they need to take lessons from Nancy Pelosi. She was that damn good. So, long story short, at the end of the day, this is theater. Great audio clip. No question about it. But nothing's going to change. Because at the end of the day, after the Republicans are through putting on their theater for their base, but, oh, we need to do something about these judges in the, you know, the Washington, D.C. Circuit Court or whatever. We need to do something about this biased judge or that biased judge or this, that. They do nothing. They do nothing. When Democrats are in charge, they know they can count on Republicans to help get rid of a MAGA conservative Republican representative like this Santos guy who was never convicted of anything. And yet they evicted him from the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, along the Republican establishment. But now that the Republicans are in charge, the idea of them getting rid of any member of Congress on the left, no matter how outrageous his or her behavior, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. It's all theater. It's all theater, and it's orchestrated, conducted by the Republican Party establishment. So yes, this sounds great, holding NPR accountable and holding judges accountable who are trying to stop President Trump and this, that, and the other. And at the end of the day, nothing is going to happen because that's the dirty little secret of the RINOs, Republicans in name only. It's the uniparty the way it is.